Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. And from the front page of the commercial news, our top story is COVID-19 positivity rate continues to climb. Key metric is highest it's been since June 11th. And this story is by Jerry Nowicki from Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. Illinois' 7-day rolling positivity rate for COVID-19 tests continued to rise through the weekend, reaching 3.8%, more than a full percentage point higher than it was at the beginning of the month. The positivity rate for tests completed has increased for 7 of the past 8 days, ticking upward from 2.9% on July 19th. It's the highest the rolling positivity rate has been since it was 4.2% on June 11th. That comes after one-day positivity rates of 3.7, 3.8, and 4% on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, respectively. Over that 3-day span, the state averaged about 1,399 new cases daily, among an average of 36,537 tests completed over the same period. Speaking Monday in Adams County, which is the state's warning territory for COVID-19 trends, Pritzker continued to urge Illinoisans to wear masks and avoid crowds. Those measures will likely be necessary through at least the end of 2020, he said. Senator Jill Tracy, Republican from Quincy, appeared alongside the governor at the Adams County Health Department in Quincy. She urged all residents to wear face coverings, which a number of studies have shown can help limit the spread of the virus. The senator called mask wearing a minor inconvenience that is so well worth it to prevent the spread of the lethal virus. We learn new things about this virus every day, but one indisputable fact is that it's highly, highly contagious, she said. Even those that get very sick and don't die, they have lingering health problems. Wearing a mask, I advocate for because it is such a simple thing to do. On Friday, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported that LaSalle, Peoria, and Randolph counties joined Adams County in warning territory, according to state COVID-19 metrics that track new cases per 100,000 people. The number of COVID-19-related deaths, weekly test positivity, ICU availability, weekly emergency department visits for COVID-19-like illness, weekly hospital admissions, the number of tests performed, and the percentage of COVID-19 cases associated with clusters for outbreaks. If these trends continue in a negative direction, the state will need to take immediate action to impose additional mitigations to slow the spread and keep more people from getting sick. We are trying to bring down infection rates before it gets out of control, Pritzker said in Adams County. The metrics are intended to be used for local level awareness to help local leaders, businesses, local health departments, and the public make informed decisions about personal and family gatherings, as well as what activities they choose to do, according to an IDPH news release. We're only counting on city and county health departments and leaders do what they know is right, protecting their residents, Pritzker added, noting those efforts include ticketing or closing bars that flout masking and social distancing guidelines. IDPH said the county's flashing warning indicators saw outbreaks associated with risky behavior. In Adams County, that includes larger social events, health care exposure, travel to hot spots, including neighboring Missouri and Iowa, as well as outbreaks tied to places of worship and youth sports. In LaSalle County, outbreaks were tied to large family and social gatherings, where there were increases in cases among people younger than 29 years, many of whom visited bars or attended larger social events. Inconsistencies with masking requirements played a role as well, according to IDPH. Peoria County also saw increases in cases among people younger than 29 years old, while outbreaks were tied to large gatherings such as 4th of July parties and people traveling to Florida, Iowa, Texas, and Wisconsin. Randolph County outbreaks were tied to congregate settings, numerous bars not complying with distance and masking, and a large party with more than 200 people. The IDPH website, which is updated weekly, was still showing warning indicators as of July 18th on Monday afternoon, and Sangamon, Champaign, and Randolph counties were the only three flashing an orange warning indicator. IDPH also reported 31 more COVID-19 related deaths over the past 3 days, bringing total fatalities since the pandemic began to 7,416 among 172,655 confirmed cases. There have been more than 2.5 million tests performed in the state, and the recovery rate from the virus is 95% for those 42 days removed from a positive test, according to the IDPH. Intensive care unit beds in use by COVID-19 patients increased to 350 at the end of Sunday as well, marking the highest that number has been since June 30th, when there were 384 ICU beds in use by COVID-19 patients. At the end of Sunday, there were 1,417 COVID-19 positive patients in hospital beds statewide, including 125 on ventilators. Both of those numbers were near their pandemic lows, although they were increases from the day prior. While Pritzker said the state is doing a better job handling the virus than its neighbors and others in the South, it does not take long for cases to spike. I can tell you what's going to happen August 10th or any date in August yet, he said. What I can tell you is we've issued guidance for what we know right now, but we're all going to have to keep watching. Our next story from the front page is entitled Public Housing Demo Applications in Process. And this story is by Jennifer Bailey. The Housing Authority of the City of Danville has submitted the application for Georgetown's Ramey Court demolition project to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Special Application Center. HACD Executive Director Jacqueline Vinson said they hope to hear something soon from HUD, but have no estimated time frame. We're patiently waiting on that determination, Vinson said. Ramey Court's 26 units in 13 buildings in Georgetown would be demolished due to physical obsolescence. This would leave 186 public housing units outside of Danville in Vermilion County. The demolition application couldn't proceed until the merger of the city and county housing authorities was fully completed. As for phase two of demolition at Fair Oaks Public Housing Complex in Danville, Vinson said they're waiting for the public review period required for release of funds. They will submit the demolition application in mid-August. The application and proposal needed review from residents, local government, and others. Vinson reported that there were no findings of significant environmental impact. Phase two of housing unit demolitions at Fair Oaks would involve 92 units in 13 buildings. HUD has 6 months to make their determination, Vinson said, but added business is not as usual due to COVID-19. Six buildings and 57 units were demolished at Fair Oaks last year as a first step to make the housing complex off East Fairchild Street safer and more manageable. Fair Oaks was reduced to 269 units from 326 with Phase 1 demolitions. It will be reduced to 177 units with Phase 2 demolition. Housing authority officials have said this size is suitable for the city and its services. Vinson said they have the financial ability to take those additional buildings down, and running conservative financials can afford reduction of the size due to physical obsolescence of the buildings. Housing Authority Capital Fund resources will pay for the work. Housing Authority property managers already have met with about 80 families who will have to be relocated. There would be a 120-day relocation period. In other HACD news, U.S. Census officials have contacted the Housing Authority about having a clinic locally to assist residents in filling out the 2020 U.S. Census. The offered clinic has not been finalized, Vinson said. The Hope Center also will be partnering with the Housing Authority and Danville School District 118 in assisting with school registrations. Laptop computers will be available for use by families in the community room at Fair Oaks from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on August 5th and August 6th. Our next story is residential support. CARES Act funds help public housing residents. And this is also by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Officials with the Housing Authority of the City of Danville have been looking at additional ways to house more families in need during this time and how best to support the Housing Authority's residents. The HACD received about $587,000 in coronavirus aid, relief, and economic security, or CARES Act funding. The HACD received a certain amount per asset management, housing development, and a separate pool of funds for the voucher program, HACD Executive Director Jacqueline Vinson said. He received almost $317,000 for Fair Oaks, $77,000 for Beeler Terrace and Churchill Towers, about $45,000 for Mersey Manor, $47,000 for the voucher program, and $101,000 for public housing in the county. Public housing is currently about 95% occupied locally. Vinson said they put together care packages for residents that included masks, soap, and sanitizing items to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. For residents in the high-rise buildings, the Housing Authority also increased cleaning protocols and sanitation. The HACD board earlier this month approved a $9,749 contract with Awebco to perform website and logo redesign and development for the Housing Authority. The project is to include professional logo design, 20 informational pages of content, 3 fillable forms for increased accessibility for housing applicants, social media integration, ADA and mobile compatibility, and 1 to 2 photographic images per development. Vinson said having more accessible, fillable forms for residents online means the residents can complete them on their cell phones or home computers and not have to go to an office in person. Sometimes residents only need to update the HACD on income or family information, she added. CARES Act funding also has gone toward personal protective equipment for staff, such as those completing work orders in residential units. Vinson said they've changed how they deal with the public. The Housing Authority adjusted their hours and the number of people allowed in the administration building lobby. This also has resulted in the hiring of an additional person to monitor those coming into the building. She said their goal remains to be accessible, to be there and present for our families. The additional safety measures are being taken to protect the staff and residents from unnecessary exposure to the coronavirus. As part of the website redesign, a logo and rebranding will be established for the HACD, which also oversees the Vermilion County's public housing. Our legal name will always be the Housing Authority of the City of Danville, Vinson said, adding that's what their contract with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development states. They will establish Doing Business As in the rebranding effort to cover the county, too. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for July 28th. And the first is for Sally Lissick. Sally Barbara O'Neill Lissick, 76, of Cayuga, Indiana, passed away at 6:54 a.m. Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A mass of Christian burial will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, July 27th, 2020, at Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street in Danville, with Father Stephen Loftus officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday, July 26th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. A prayer service will be held at 3:45 p.m. Sunday, July 26th, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Resurrection Cemetery, Danville Memorial. Danville. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Danville Women's Care Clinic. Norma Jean Pinegar. Norma Jean Pinegar, born November 10, 1935, went to be with the Lord on Thursday, July 23, 2020. A celebration of life service will be held at 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, July 28th, at Crossroads Christian Church at 3613 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with the arrangements. Officiating will be Pastor Miles Clark. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, and visitation will be held just prior to the service from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the church. Vincent J. Homicky. Vincent J. Homicky, 57, of Danville, passed away Thursday, July 23, 2020, at the University of Chicago Hospital. There will be a visitation on Wednesday, July 29, 2020, from 9 to 11 a.m. at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville, Illinois. The family will be doing a private graveside service at Lowbrook Cemetery in Fisher, Illinois, directly following the visitation. Samuel Lee Yates. Samuel, or Sam, Lee Yates passed away at his daughter's home in Danville on July 17, 2020, with his family by his side. A graveside service and celebration of life will be held at a later date. Interment will be in Rankin Union Cemetery in Rankin, Illinois, with his daughter, Angela. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Park Vermilion County, Indiana Humane Society at 1884 South State Route, Indiana 63, in Hillsdale, Indiana, 47854. Mary M. Unitas. Mary Margaret Unitas, 97, passed away on July 20th, 2020, in Danville, Illinois. A graveside service for Mary will take place at 10 a.m. on Monday, July 27th, at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with arrangements. Yvonne Aldridge. Yvonne Elizabeth Aldridge was promoted to glory at 2 a.m. on July 24, 2020. The family will be having a private service for her on July 31st, 2020. Leek and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Lorna Eleanor Rusk. Lorna Eleanor Rusk, age 91, passed away on Sunday, July 26, 2020, at home with her family at her side. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 29th, at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg. Masks would be appreciated, and the family requests that everyone please observe social distancing due to the current COVID situation. Funeral will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday, July 30th, at Dickerson Funeral Home, with burial to follow at Rockfield Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, the family is requesting memorial donations be made to the Vetersburg Fire Department. Joseph C. Buck. Joseph C. Buck, 65, of Rossville, passed away at 6:06 p.m. on July 23, 2020. Visitation will take place on Thursday, July 30, 2020, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. There will also be a one-hour visitation prior to the service from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday, July 31st, at the Rossville United Methodist Church at 116 Maple Street in Rossville, Illinois. A celebration of life service will take place at 11 a.m. Friday, July 31st, 2020, at the church with Pastor Chris Quick officiating. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that memorial donations be made in Joe's name to the Mustard Seed Christian Daycare of Rossville, American Heart Association, or the donor's choice. Cheryl Jane Taylor. Cheryl Jane Taylor fell asleep in death July 13, 2020, in Lancaster, California, at her home. She will be greatly missed. Cheryl's family would like to thank each and everyone for the love and support we received at this difficult time. Harry F. Plotner. Harry Frederick Plotner, 87, passed away peacefully in his home on July 21, 2020. Visitation for Harry will be held Tuesday, July 28, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Oakwood, Illinois, at 105 East South Main Street, Oakwood. A private funeral and burial to follow Wednesday. Memorial donations may be made in Harry's name to the Oakwood Christian Church. Viorica Ratzio. Viorica Ratzio, 75, died July 23, 2020 in Phoenix, Arizona. A funeral service will be held on Thursday, July 30th at 2 p.m. at First Baptist Church of Danville, at 1211 North Vermilion Street, with Pastor Phil Newman officiating. Vicki will be laid to rest at Johnson Cemetery. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, has been entrusted with arrangements. And that ends the obituaries for Tuesday, July 28th. We're going to turn back to some other stories now from the commercial news. The next one is entitled, Chris to Provide Food Packs for Seniors. And this is a staff report. Danville. Chris Healthy Aging Center will disperse free FEMA food packs for seniors age 60 and older in Vermilion County this week. Older adults are in a high-risk category for illness, and it is more important now than ever to keep them safe and healthy. These FEMA food packs are available to individuals, older adults that Chris would welcome to its various meal sites. As meal sites are still closed, Chris will distribute the FEMA food packs on the following dates at the various locations. Today, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at Chris Healthy Aging Center at 309 North Franklin Street. Wednesday, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at Hupston Multi-Agency, 206 South 1st Avenue in Hupston. Thursday, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at Wanda's Family Restaurant, 100 North Main Street in Georgetown. Participants must pre-register by calling Chris Healthy Aging Center Nutrition Department at 443-2999. Chris staff will take every possible measure to adhere to social distancing protocols. These measures include maintaining a distance of at least 6 feet between themselves and participants, wearing personal protective equipment such as gloves, masks, and sanitizing equipment often. These food packs provide 5 days of shelf-stable meals for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Each emergency meal pack varies, but will contain 5 non-perishable meals. Food packs may include items such as cereal, fruit bars, grits, graham crackers, tuna salad, lasagna, beef stew, soup, and crackers, applesauce, fruit juices, non-fat dry milk, cheese, and more. Another staff report. This one's entitled Courthouse Reopens After Virus Issue. Danville. Presiding Judge Thomas M. O'Shaughnessy announced that the Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse reopened Monday, July 27th, for all scheduled hearings. The courthouse was closed Friday after an employee of the Vermilion County Circuit Clerk's Office tested positive for the 2019 novel coronavirus. In an effort to protect the health and welfare of all courthouse employees and patrons, and the community at large, all employees of the Circuit Clerk's Office were required to seek testing and follow all quarantine recommendations of the testing site. All other employees of the Clerk's Office reporting test results were negative, although a bailiff tested positive and is required to quarantine. The entire courthouse was cleaned and sanitized on Friday. Only persons who have a scheduled hearing or appointment will be allowed access to the courthouse until further order of the court. And our last staff report is entitled State COVID Testing Saw 967 People. The Vermilion County Health Department reports that the state's mobile COVID testing team was a huge success in Vermilion County. The number of people tested were as follows: Oakwood, 161, Vermilion County Health Department, first day there cut short because of lunchtime storms, 118. Westville, 201. Second Church of Christ in Danville, 135. Hupston, 123. Danville Area Community College, 133. Vermilion County Health Department, second day on July 26th, 96. The Health Department thanks all who helped make it happen or who participated in the testing opportunity. They have already contacted the state team about possibly returning for a few days next month. If you have not yet received your results, be assured that you will get a call. All of the samples are okay, but some of the labs that received samples can return results in 48 hours, and some will take 6 or 7 days. It may seem strange that a person tested on Wednesday would receive their results sooner than a person who was tested on Tuesday or Monday, but everyone will get a call. And finally, from Community Briefs, Danville District 118 School Board will hold a special meeting at 6 tonight. The meeting will be closed to the public to discuss the personnel and negotiations, but will include an opportunity for public comment. Any public comments should be emailed to d118publiccomments@danville118.org by 3:30 p.m. today. And that takes us to the end of our time for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. This has been the Vermilion County News. My name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you. I hope you have a good day and stay safe. Take care.